¡Ale!
¡Sí, señor!
Bienvenidos and welcome to the Familia FFP Podcast. I'm Jorge Georgie Martin. Primos, all the primos are in the house tonight. Ricky Yo. Torres, Hector Reyes.
Right, the three amigos. Let's go.
Yeah, baby. Yeah, baby. Well, gracias, everybody, for joining us. Como siempre, estamos aquí para servirlos. Estamos a sus órdenes. Make sure you're checking out our website at familiaffp.com, as well as our social media channels at familiaffp on Twitter and our familiaffp Facebook page. Well, primos, big exhale. We survived the longest week of the NFL season. Thursday to Tuesday, 14 games. It, for some reason, it felt like more than that. But, I mean, it was pretty right? cool to have so much football and have so much football, like, you know, on prime time, especially on Monday, Tuesday. But who's ready for kind of like a more normal schedule?
I'm tired of Thursdays. I mean, just do Fridays by now. If kids ain't in high school playing football, might as well just move Thursday to Friday. But never going to happen. Thursday is just a really random day.
Well, you know, it's funny. I think Thursday used to be like the night that TV used to load up its best TV show.
Friends.
That's right.
Cosby, TV. Cosby Show, yeah. Seinfeld. Yep.
They were on Cheers, all of them. They were always on Thursday night. And I heard that the reason why they did that is because all of the movie theaters, not the movie theaters, the movie studios, they paid big bucks to promote the movies that were going to be released on that Friday. So that's why they always loaded up their Thursday night. And I guess that's why Thursday night became a thing for the NFL. Plus it's kind of like in the middle, you know, you could play games there on Sunday, but yeah, you know, there's no movies to promote right now.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
To Rick's point, I wouldn't mind seeing them. There's not really a reason to not do Friday. You know, Friday being, you know, a weekend and a day when folks usually party a little bit more than they do on Thursday, because it is the actual kickoff of the weekend, and there's nothing else. I mean, there's, like Rick said, there's no high school football, there's no movie night. It's just another day where people stay home and see what's on TV. So why not move it to Friday?
Right,
make it more of a party day, make it more of a party night. So I would think the NFL should be looking into that. For sure.
Yeah, well, I think if they would have known that there was not going to be any Friday night football, well, I mean, there is some states, not in California, but there are some states that are that have Friday night lights. I think it's like Texas and certain states in the South are still playing right now.
Yeah, but they're not watching the NFL right now, anyways.
Who knows? But I mean, I think there's always been kind of like that unwritten agreement not to play against Friday night football.
I'm tired of unwritten rules, man. Unwritten agreements. All this crap in the Major League Baseball with the unwritten rules. Get over it. Let's move on. It's a new millennium. Ain't no more unwritten rules, man. Get rid of all the unwritten rules.
Well, before we talk about Tuesday night football, hey, shout out to the Dodgers for getting a big win tonight. You know, 11 runs in the first inning.
Wow.
Gotta love it, baby. Gotta love it. What was it? 15-3 final. So
I think they got the over in one inning.
People are cashing out their tickets in like the second inning.
They're ready. They're going to the window of Vegas. But Tuesday night football, that was a good game. I mean, that was a great game for the Titans. I mean, how surprised are you guys to see them score 42 points when they hardly practiced for 2 weeks?
It shows us how great of a game time manager Ryan Tannehill is, and that's all he is. And then also what they can do when they have a lead. As soon as they have a lead, they can just pretty much put it on the back of Derrick Henry and ride it out. He's getting the same amount of action as last season, so expect the same. And they just need Tannehill to keep doing it, keep just like being highly accurate, throwing touchdowns here and there, but like nothing spectacular.
Yeah, I was surprised. Josh Allen was just – he just seemed a little bit out of sorts. He just seemed – a little bit off, but he wasn't really super accurate the way he's been, you know, these first weeks of the season. Cole Beasley was like the stud of the night, which is weird. So
just
kind of a weird overall night for the Buffalo Bills. Again, they'd probably just like to forget about and hit the reset button and just focus on next week's games, because that was just they just threw up a big dud last night, and I think they'll just rather put that behind them and just move on.
Well, our guy Diggs did get 10 receptions for 106 yards. So it's kind of like we've gotten, he's kind of like a metronome now. We're just expecting that. But
right. Is that, yeah, that's just, we're used to that stuff, right? That's just kind of automatic. It's cruise control, right?
But it was great. I mean, I've got him on a couple teams. It was so fantastic to get A.J. Brown back looking healthy. And just, I mean, it just reminds me, he looks like a running back playing. He's got like a running back stocky running back build. And he's just like running through guys. He's such a different receiver. He's just such a weapon out there. And two things that stuck out to me. There was one play where Derrick Henry did like, I think it started out as a stiff arm, and he just like basically threw a defender to the ground like he was a rag doll.
I've seen so many different Photoshop memes and everything of that. Like, it was amazing. I feel like for an extra 5 yards, oh my goodness, that was a great effort.
And then how about Ryan Tannehill run with his little finger roll after running in the touchdown, his little keeper. So that was kind of fun. That was pretty fun.
His homage to LaDainian Tomlinson.
Yeah. Oh, that's right. Exactly. Exactly. Without the face shield.
Yeah.
Right. Speaking of which, Ricky, you'll be interested in this. We'll get into this guy in tomorrow's show. Chase Claypool, his idol, his football idol, is LaDainian Tomlinson.
Nice.
And he actually, in high school, he wore the number 21 because of LaDainian Tomlinson. And the 11, you know, the 11 is partly because of the one is partly because of that 21. And also he wore 83 at Notre Dame. And so he kept the number 11 because 8 and 3 adds up to 11. So
there you go.
Little Chase Claypool history lesson, but now getting back
to little trivia there. There you go, little trivia. Yeah.
So a little something hurt him.
It's like Vin Scully almost, Vin Scully like.
Well, you know, I've had a little. I listened to Vin a few times over the last 40 some years.
Exactly, little bit, just a little bit.
But no, it was. I mean, I think it's going to be interesting how Buffalo bounces back from this game. You know, it's their first loss. You know, Allen looked fairly mortal. They've got Kansas City next week, so that one's another fun game.
Okay. The Raiders took them out. I think their defense is feeling a little bit weird. I think Josh Allen can jump all over them. Let's see what happens.
Yeah, I think as soon as Josh Allen gets to practice a lot more and get back in a rhythm, he'll be fine.
Yeah, it'll be good. But yeah, I think that closes it up for the Tuesday Night Football. Let's get into the best bets.
Best.
Right.
The best. All right. So Primo Nico can't be here with us tonight. Obviously, it was his sister who passed away that we dedicated the show, the Sunday night, Monday episode of our podcast to Primo Marica. But he did give us our bets, and he said, hey, you know what? He reminded everybody that he went 4-1 last week. So he's to be believed. His picks are Minnesota -3, Arizona -2, Green Bay is the pick. I think Hector, you are.
I'll expound on that.
You'll expound on that one.
Yep.
Kansas City -4 against Buffalo at home against Buffalo. And then he took the over in Giants Washington over 43. Okay. So
interesting.
Any of those stick up, Primos?
That'll be the one where he gets his -1.
Well, I don't know. Is how are we looking over there in Minnesota? Running back, is he going to be okay? Is he?
I would say he's not
playing. I don't know. I haven't seen any good news or bad news. I mean, I don't know. Some people say, it looks really bad.
Madison's set to take the stage, right?
Madison,
oh, yeah,
Dalvin Cook is out. Is that the deal? I mean,
it's he didn't practice. He didn't practice on Wednesday. Today Wednesday, so he's. But you know, Madison got 112 yards in the second half last week.
So it's plug and play.
So right? It could be one of those things. You know, that one's interesting. Arizona, Arizona. You know, it's Arizona Dallas. That's the Monday night football game.
Yeah, I think I'd take that. Obviously, the talk of Dallas's weak defense spills over. Kyler Murray, I think he'll take them apart. I think there's also, whenever you have an injury like this to your main guy, there's like a cloud over the team. So it's going to be interesting to see just how Dallas comes out of it now that they've had some time to understand the injury and the impact to their season and such. You know, how is that really going to impact them? And are they going to come out, you know, on a downer? You know, and if they do, are the defense already kind of, you know, suspect? And if they come out on a downer and flat footed, Kyler Murray and company would just jump all over them. So yeah, I like Arizona -2 a lot.
Oh, yeah, they're gonna beat them by a lot.
And you got Kansas City -4. You know, they're hosting the Bills. That one, I mean, Kansas City.
About that one, yeah, I don't know about that one. After last week, you know, they're human after all, right?
And it's up in Kansas.
They'll probably win by like a final minute touchdown. Watch.
Yeah.
That one, well, I mean, Buffalo's secondary is still banged up. So I look at the fact that he, you know, that Mahomes could just have a big day with his guys. I mean,
minus that pick against the Raiders, I mean, that's definitely a comebackable game for the Chiefs there. That, you know, they may have pulled out the win except for that one mistake, you know.
In Giants, Washington, 40 over 43, that one's you don't know. You don't know what you have with Washington's offense right now.
That's why I'm surprised he's doing anything with that.
Yeah.
It's like you don't even know what you have with the Giants really either.
I mean, both the defenses are not good. Washington's front four is pretty formidable, and I think they're going to tear through the offensive line of the Giants. But, you know, when Daniel Jones has time – I think he's going to get some big completions. Go for it, Heck.
All right. So my picks, Nico's picks are, I always trust Nico. He and I have had many a conversation over betting over the last several years. I like the Lions over the Jacksonville Jaguars. Lions are favored by 3.5. They're coming off a bye week. They are well rested. Matt Stafford is looking fantastic these last couple weeks now that his main guy is back. So all you need to know is that Fitzmagic and the Dolphins put up 31 points on the Jaguars defense in week 3. The Jaguars defense is probably at the bottom of the barrel in the NFL, pretty damn close to it. So I look for Stafford and company to jump all over Jacksonville. Minshew mania. I mean, he's nothing to sneeze at. The Lions defense isn't that great, obviously. And I think Minshew will be doing his own thing. I think this is going to be a high scoring affair. But I think in the end, the Lions are just too much for that Jags defense. So take them at -3.5 for sure. Be confident in your pick. Steelers -4 against Cleveland. 4-1 Browns, which are still, I'm still kind of surprised that the Browns are 4-1, but I think, George, you alluded to it. Their offensive line has been retooled. Steelers are undefeated. This game should be very entertaining. And we obviously, all the talk of the town is on what Chase Claypool did last week with his 4 touchdowns. They got Juju. Deontay Johnson, we'll see if he's good to go. They're saying that the injury is not so bad. He's been banged up a little bit, but if Big Ben has his cadre of receivers there, they're going to eat up the Browns. Pittsburgh -4, go ahead and take them there. I'm very confident in that pick as well. Dolphins -8.5 over the Jets. All you need to know in this matchup is anyone against the Jets, take them. I mean, Le'Veon Bell was just released and just for nothing. I mean, Adam Gase and company, this is just, this is like the definition of a dumpster fire. It's just, I don't know where they go from here. I have no idea what, you know, what Jets fans are saying. I don't know what anyone
they
is
are
saying.
Not talking.
Yeah, exactly.
They're not letting people know they're fans.
Exactly. They are, they're, they're going into the, you know, fandom protection program, if anything, because man, I don't know. I mean, Miami's favored by 8.5. I just see, and you know, we've talked about it, you know, in previous episodes, Adam Gase is in charge. He lost confidence in the team, even probably preseason. There was, you know, talk of, you know, arguments and things and people just not really trusting him and just a lot of smack talking and trash talking and just disrespect for the head coach even before the season started. So things are obviously starting to simmer and boil over now that Le'Veon Bell's gone. And if Le'Veon Bell had any confidants on that team, they're probably right there with them. And you know, they may be in rebellion mode, and, you know, it's the mutiny on the bounty. So I look for the Jets to just get slaughtered here. You know, half the guys may be just giving up by halftime. Take the Dolphins, -8.5. And then Green Bay -2 against Tampa Bay, Tom Brady and company. I think Aaron Rodgers has looked sharp. Tom Brady has looked good at times, has looked very bad at times as well. I think, you know, Father Time is kind of knocking on Tom Brady's door, knock, knock, knocking on Brady's door a little bit there. Cause, you know, he shows, you know, flashes of greatness. And then there's times you see him and just like, what's he doing? Like the passes are just, they're not crisp.
I thought it was third down.
Yeah, exactly. The 3, the 4, that whole debacle was just like, I couldn't believe
it. No offense, like, Georgie.
Wow. Yes. No. So yes, I think Aaron Rodgers is going to stick it to him. I think Aaron Rodgers, this is that time where he has the upper hand as far as talent-wise. Tom Brady's on the way down for sure. Aaron Rodgers is still playing at a high level, higher level than Tom Brady for sure. So all things being equal, somewhat equal, I look for Green Bay to take 2-point favorites. I love that. Take that at least. Godwin's been hurt. He's been nursing that hamstring. We always know that Mike Evans is always hurt. He walks around with a limp constantly. So I don't know what's up with that, but you know, he always seems to score a touchdown. Right. But I think this is the game where it all just kind of, the wheels kind of seem to fall off the bus a little bit for Tampa Bay. And I think Green Bay definitely beats them by more than 2. So take Green Bay here.
So I'm looking at I was looking at the results from last week. Nico went 4-1. Hector went 3-2. And I think one of them was kind of like a toss up game.
Yeah.
I look at this one. I'm like, that Miami, it looks like a big score, but man, the Jets are just so decimated right now. They're on the backup yeah. quarterback. They're on their backup running back, and you know, sad. I can't see why the Jets would be
show
able
up.
To, yeah, would be able
even
to
play.
Stay within 10
we
points.
Give up. We're not even going to play today.
Ricky, what do you think?
All these picks are just, I don't know. I think Tampa Bay is definitely going to lose, but I don't think the wheels are going to fall off. Tom Brady's old, but he's not that old. Also,
he doesn't know what down it is. like I said, at times he shows.
Also, Miami's not a brave pick, but I'll give you it. It's an easy one.
Yeah.
Other than that, I think you're spot on with everything else, surprisingly. And Cleveland,
thanks, Rick.
I feel like a confident Baker Mayfield's going to be the difference in everything.
Aren't you worried that Hector's been so wrong about Cleveland so far, and now he's going against them again today?
I'm used to him usually going back and forth on things and people. So. Right, Teddy Bridge.
Teddy B.
Right. Teddy B. Hey, I didn't go back and forth on him. I
you're right.
I
you dropped just dropped him. Him.
I never said
you
I didn't
couldn't
like
pick him.
Him
back up because I took him. So we're
I don't
good.
Want to pick him back up. I'd rather ride the Minshew Mania train over Teddy B. That's an easy one.
I would say that too if I was prideful.
Well, you should be.
All right, let's get into some chisme.
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 So Lev Bell released, boys.
We just went over that just a tad bit. That's it's a train wreck entering into a dumpster fire surrounded by a collapsing house. I don't even know how to describe the Jets, man.
Just another part in the Le'Veon Bell story. I haven't in the league. I feel like I'm just gonna keep him. Maybe he lands somewhere. Everywhere. Everyone thinks he's going to go like everywhere, even like the 49ers, because I guess he was close with Shanahan, but it's like
Patriots,
the Patriots, maybe like literally everywhere. The Bears, I've heard.
Bears, I heard I heard the Bills today.
I heard the Bills too. That's why it's like, you know what? I think the teams with young backs will still want to use those backs and get in the experience. I think they're doing fine. But it's like,
who's the
know.
Team with Frank Gore? That they should get him.
Wow,
where Frank Gore is still a starting running back in the NFL. Where is he at again?
I mean, whatever. it's one of those things where he will ruin the value of whatever running back he gets to because he's going to demand playing time.
And he's just not. I don't see him. I did a look at like all the not the rosters, all of the teams, and I was just kind of like thinking. could he go somewhere and be a bell cow? And I don't think, unless it's like somewhere yeah, I just don't see it. I don't see where he's going to be a caballo.
If he was still on Pittsburgh, would he still be the lead caballo if he never left? Yeah.
Yeah.
So probably. Yeah. So he definitely could be in the right system.
No, right, I mean, like, if you've been conditioned and been playing every year, not if he just all of a sudden becomes a Steeler, then yeah, but he's out of it, man. He's not conditioned. He doesn't have his burst anymore. He's done.
All right. I don't know. Yeah, I kind of agree with you, Rick. It's he just doesn't have. I don't think he has
it. Bet anymore. On him. He hasn't done anything for 2 years, 3 years almost. Stubble.
3 years. 17 was the last year he really did anything. And we know how running backs they age much faster than anybody else.
Mm-hmm. And he's just, I don't know, he's just not game day shape, I would think.
Yeah. Well, let's get into some positive news. We had zero COVID tests, positive tests.
Hey, today. That's negative news.
Right.
They were positively negative news.
There you go.
But you know, apparently the NFL announced more strict protocols for players and staff coming into contact with people who are positive. They're going to
stay away from them.
Yeah, exactly. Stay away from people who are COVID positive. Yeah. It's well, you know what? Ricky, I keep thinking that they're going to be getting closer and closer to a bubble. I know that they're talking about a postseason bubble.
Definitely need to do it for the postseason. Definitely. Yep. Because if they have to postpone a whole week of football because of COVID, imagine the morning of
the Super Bowl, someone comes up. Yeah, you have to do a bubble. There's no way that wait a minute. Super Bowl Sunday, like the wide receiver just tested positive today.
It's
not going to work.
And they're not going to do like all the, you know, it's not going to be all the crazy media because the media scrum, because they're not going to let the players come into contact with any media. It's just going to be the Super Bowl is going to be different from anything else.
Yeah.
I do hope it's going to be in Tampa and they're already be having fans there. I hope that by that point, things are in our country and in our world are a little more normalized.
I hope so, man.
Maybe we can get a Super Bowl full of, you know, I'm always optimistic, always optimistic. Super Bowl with people. So
I lost my optimism a long time ago.
That's right. You should be the viejo, remember? The youngest viejo I know. Cam Newton. He is now off the reserve COVID-19 list. So I think he's full speed ahead to start this weekend. So.
Oh, yeah. And I think you fire him up too. Denver defense is not that great right now.
Yeah, they're so banged up. They're so banged up. I mean, we'll get
I did not want you guys to say that. I play against the Primo Jesse this week, and he's firing up Cam Newton as a starter. So I was hoping that there would be some, you know, something.
I'd say he's going to be amazing, but he's definitely going to hit his projected points, I would say.
All right.
Oh, goodness. You know, we've got Coach Anthony Lynn. Keenan Ricky, Allen. This one's yours. Keenan Allen.
Well, that's dealing right. with back spasms on Monday night. I give it to Hector, but I really love Keenan. I'm trying to trade for him in a lot of leagues. I know
you've been trying to get him from me since day one.
and you know, to go out, I think he had like 20-something yards and a touchdown. If he would have played, he would have been awesome. So
yeah, I agree. If he played the whole game, man, he would have lit it up. But
it's just a back spasm. Dude just needs to get some more potassium in his body. Who knows? Get back on the field.
That's right.
So, and over in Denver, Melvin Gordon got a DUI. And now
he's still practicing.
He's practicing. No, they sent him home today. But
did they
think he's, yeah, they, but they're, and the coach isn't sure that he's going to, you know, what his playing status. He did mention something. There's going to be consequences, which sounds like what I say to my daughters when the, you know, when I threaten
that's
to take away their phone.
I mean, if your daughter's got a DUI, you'd say a lot worse things than that, though.
Yeah.
But I mean, so for Melvin Gordon getting a DUI, it looks very bad on the organization.
Yeah.
And he's going to get suspended by the commissioner, no matter what, just because it looks bad on the league.
Well, can he appeal that? I mean, aren't there protocols in place like where he can say like, well, no, this is what really happened, and you know,
why not just get it done and over with?
Yeah, I get that, but at the same time, there are, you know, appeals processes.
If this was a he said, she said case, then that's something else. But this is like, you know, you got an officer with a law pulling this guy over. And if he didn't tell the Broncos right away and he let them find out a different way rather than through his mouth, then he's in bigger trouble than we think.
I guess.
Yeah. Well, it's, I mean, you know what? I mean, these guys got to be more responsible. They make boatloads of money. They get paid for a lift.
I've drank in Denver before and you get drunk faster, man. That altitude does affect you. So come on, Melvin.
Yeah.
Got to get used to the area you're living in.
Get used to the area. But
I hope he's okay. I hope he takes his punishment. I hope everything goes well.
Yeah. Well, let's get into some previews. And Ricky, you know, we talked about the fact that this is going to be like old times. No Thursday night football. We're starting up on Sundays. So we're going to get through all the games. Ricky, kick us off. Houston to Tennessee.
All right. We have the 1-4 Houston Texans at the Tennessee Titans 4-0. I'm telling you, this is going to be just like what we just saw this past Tuesday night. Yes. So, I mean, Tennessee's just going to run over them. You're going to have more Tannehill managing because Houston's not going to be able to stop them. And when you can't stop the Titans, they're just going to do what they are comfortable doing, and that's just run Henry down your throat and use Tannehill to manage it in the middle. So I feel like the only great thing for Houston is Deshaun Watson's probably going to get another 300, if not 350-yard game, but he's probably still going to have two interceptions. There's, you know, because this is a lot of it's going to be trying to catch up because they're going to be falling behind. And because he throws so much, he's going to be prone to the interceptions. And we saw how good Titans were against Josh Allen. Well, Watson's just as good, if not a little bit not as good as Allen. So I feel like they're already primed up. And David Johnson is not a threat at all. So I feel like Tennessee does exactly what they do. Ryan Tannehill is still not fantasy relevant. But I definitely am happy that he made A.J. Brown fantasy relevant because I know you two love him. So definitely put him in, Henry in, Jonnu Smith. It's nice to see him get a lot of love because a lot of people have been giving him love lately. So for him to get it from Tannehill and catch those two TDs, it's looking good for him.
How is Tannehill not fantasy relevant? I guess my question is because now that it seems
dude,
like
do you know how many quarterbacks get more points than him every week? Like, he's outside the top 12, I would say. Well, I wouldn't want him.
Here's my thing is that Tannehill is just kind of – he's just kind of getting into a groove. You know what I'm saying? Like, he had one
rushing
touchdown.
This fool's been a veteran for, like, 80 years.
I'm just saying.
He should get in a groove like Fitzpatrick does.
Three touchdowns. But then, I mean, to your point, I think part of the reason that you – I think maybe you can agree or disagree – part of the reason why Ryan Tannehill may not be as fantasy relevant and may not get as many points or as many yards rather is because of Derrick Henry. I mean, he's still going to get his, ton of touchdowns.
I'm not saying he's bad. I'm saying don't put him on your team.
Agree. But I mean, three TDs a game. I mean, he's going to do that. And Derrick Henry has been catching passes the last few weeks. So, you know, I think as the season goes on, we're going to see Derrick Henry with,
yes,
of receiving touchdowns here and there as well. So
I definitely agree there. He definitely gets those little 10-yard dump offs and then just boom, gets it in.
The dink and dunk.
On the Houston side, I feel like the only ones you want to get, obviously, fire off Watson. Fuller is going to be great as always, going to get 100 yards. And then Cooks is hit or miss, man. The only one, Georgie has him. He's the only person I know that has him. So.
I didn't start him last week. I would have beaten Hector if I would have started him.
You would have. Oh, you can't say if.
Yeah.
If I would have started him.
Yes. No, you're right. You're right.
It happens. Hey, we all, you know, hindsight's 2020, right? Especially in fantasy football, hindsight comes to bite you in the rear every week, man. That's what happens.
I mean,
so just make great decisions, guys. That's all.
Just make better decisions. Yeah.
Ask me for advice.
All? Is that all?
As Primo Victor loves to say, draft better players. I was looking a little bit at Pro Football Reference and the fantasy points per game that these teams are giving up. I mean, this game has shootout potential. Very much shootout potential. They're both in the top 10 in most points given up to both the wide receiver and the running back position.
I don't see it, but
Vegas has it as a 27-27 game, basically. The over under 54.
27-41 is what I would
think. But I'm saying Vegas has him as, you think 41-27?
I could see that.
Wow. Okay. Well, they bet the over, right?
I'd take Houston getting 27 points because I've got enough Will Fuller and Brandon Cooks. I think the interesting play is going to be David Johnson because Tennessee has been, you know, pretty generous to running backs. Tennessee is where fantasy points per game to the running backs. Number eight against fantasy running backs. Houston is number six most points given up to fantasy running backs. So I think Derrick Henry and David Johnson are both going to have themselves pretty good games this weekend.
So they're actually playing. They're playing on Sunday.
Yeah, Sunday at 10. You imagine that the Titans play the last game, on Tuesday. You know that game's done at like 7 o'clock our time, and then they're at 10 o'clock on Sunday. So that's one. So four full days off of rest. I mean, the good thing for them is they're home for both. They didn't have to jump on a plane. So
that's good.
That's
sleep,
good.
Sleep
for them.
At home. That's worth a lot. Like, sleep at home.
They spread the ball enough to where, like, look, Jonu got 40 yards, AJ Brown 82, Derrick Henry 57, Tannehill under 200 yards. It looks like they took it easy on the Bills when you see these stats.
Yeah, it's all right. Hector, take us to Indy.
All right, so we saw the I don't know what you want to call what Cincinnati did trying to stop the Baltimore defense. they didn't do a very good job of it. Baltimore defense last week had 7 sacks. Poor Joe Burrow just got the crap beat out of him. He threw 1 pick, 2 lost fumbles. He just had as bad a day as an NFL quarterback can have. He just got beat to heck. And he's not going to have – he may have a little bit easier time. They go against the Indianapolis Colts this week. Cincinnati at 1-3 and 1 tie. Indy at 3-2, but their defense is stout, as they say, as that – like that dark beer that you drink, stout.
Those dudes are badass. They are tough.
And I feel bad. Joe Burrow is going to have his hands full again. I'm sure he is sore. I'm sure by the time he suits up, come this weekend, his body's still not going to be completely healed after the thrashing that the Baltimore defense put on him and landed on him and threw him around like a rag doll. He's still going to be hurting, and Indy is not going to be any nicer to him. I look for Indy to just take it to them again. They're favored by 7.5, over under at 46.5. So they're, Vegas isn't looking for this to be a very high scoring game. I know Cincinnati's not going to score very much. I mean, if you're looking for weapons that Joe Burrow has, he's still got some good stuff there. Tyler Boyd and T. Higgins are good. T. Higgins is emerging, will be emerging. I don't think in this game, because I think Indy's going to take it to him. Joe Burrow's going to be running around a lot. I think Joe Mixon game script, forget about it. I wouldn't start Joe Mixon. They're going to be behind. I think for a lot of this game, and I don't think they're going to be have any reason to really run Joe Mixon too much. AJ Green, in case anyone wants to know where he's been, if there has been an AJ Green sighting, he is wide receiver 92 currently, 92 in PPR scoring through week 5. That is just crazy. On the Indy side, Philip Rivers.
Right next to T.Y. Hilton, though.
Right, it seems like. And there's T.Y. Hilton. Last week he went 6 catches for 69 yards. Mo Alley Cox, that guy, 0 catches, 0 yards. I mean, it's just Philip Rivers will just make things. He will them into existence. They'll get the victory here. I think the defense is what takes them, to the promised land this week. But I just don't see Cincinnati doing anything against the Indy defense at all. I think Indy takes it.
I can't believe you.
What can't you believe?
Everything. What? Indianapolis has not been stout. They're missing Darius Leonard. Look at what Cleveland was able to do last week. Cincinnati, they whooped them.
The week before they had 2 pick sixes. Indy's defense is not nothing to sneeze at.
Is not Darnold. So I'm not going to judge Indianapolis's defense against the Jets. That's the most streamable defense right now is whoever's playing the Jets.
True.
So Indianapolis is not going to be able to do everything you think.
But there's something wrong.
I would still take. I would still take Cincinnati. Something's up with who?
Cincinnati's O-line. How do you get seven? Baltimore's defense is great, but they're not like Hall of Fame. They had seven.
They're
sacks.
Good. I have them on a lot of my teams.
I know they're good, but are they seven sacks good?
Yeah, they are.
So is that more of the defense, or is that more of Cincinnati's O-line? Because something's up there. There's something
How many of them were coverage sacks? You don't know that.
I don't know. I mean, Burrow's been getting hit a lot, not just in last week in Baltimore.
Indy's not going to be able to rush as well as Baltimore, and that's going to be able to let Joe Burrow throw more, which is going to open the ball more for Mixon. I don't think Mixon's going to be able to hit 100 yards. It'd be nice, but I really don't care. Burrow's going to be the one gaining all the yards. It's going to be closer than you think. They're definitely going to beat the spread. So I'd bet
Indy wins, but by less than 7.5.
Oh, yeah, definitely.
Okay.
Philip Rivers sucks. I don't want to hear this. He'll will his way. He sucks, man.
Beer bet, George. Put it down. I say Indy covers here. I think they get another pick six here. I'm not betting on the pick six, but I think they cover.
Okay, good, because I wouldn't bet on that either. But I think Cincinnati covers.
You think Cincinnati? I think Indy easily covers. Indianapolis, all right, jot it down, George.
Trash
beer bet. Beer bet.
Done.
I'm putting it in.
Put it down.
Let's see.
So says me. That's how it's going to go down.
So it's 7.5. Yeah, I look at this game. I did not like what I saw from Cincinnati last week, and it's all the offensive line. And Indianapolis, yes, Ricky, you're right. They're Darius Leonard, but they've just got so many horses on the rest of the defense. I think I think Burrow's going to have a tough time this week. I don't know if they covered, because I don't know if Indianapolis is going to score enough points, because you're right. Philip Rivers does not look good. Jonathan Taylor has let down a lot of fantasy managers this year, and T.Y. Hilton is just looking like a shell of himself. Mm-hmm. So I don't know how much in Cincinnati. We thought they were going to be a doormat defense. They've had some games where they've shown up a little bit. I mean, they didn't show up last week because Lamar Jackson does Lamar Jackson things, but Philip Rivers, no me gusta, because he's, you know, from a personality standpoint, he's one of my favorite players in the NFL, but I just don't know. I mean, I've actually I think I said in our WhatsApp chat that I'd like to see the Colts trade for Sam Darnold and have him become the successor to Rivers for next year.
There you go.
So as the Jets tank for Tua, so
tank.
I'm sorry.
Yeah, exactly.
Well, I'm going to take
tank for whoever.
Yeah. I'm going to take you to Minnesota, the barn burner between the host 1-4 Minnesota Vikings with the Atlanta Falcons, the winless Atlanta Falcons in their first game under interim head coach Raheem Morris. Minnesota, they're 3.5-point favorites with an over-under of 54.5. So we know there are going to be points scored in this game. I mean, to me, the big question is, does Matt Ryan have Julio Jones? And I'm not just asking this because I just traded for him in our Familia League. I'm curious because of the fact that, you know, there's been two games now this season where Matt Ryan did not have Julio Jones, and he did not look like Mateo Yellow, Matty Ice. He looked, you know, he looked like melted ice. So that was just no bueno. Calvin Ridley was still good. Last week he had 136 yards on 8 receptions. Todd Gurley has looked really good. He's been
really good, or like good
surprise. Okay, how about this? He's been surprisingly good.
Okay,
yeah, and you know, he's scoring touchdowns. He's one of the lead scorers in touchdowns. He is in fantasy points per game. He's where is he? I didn't put this.
That was he consistent.
Well, he's been scoring touchdowns regularly. That's been the interesting thing. He's the running back 11. On fantasy points. So he's been, yeah. So
he's out playing his ADP. That's for sure.
He is. I had him in the teens, and he's been a lot better. So, that's been good. I just don't know what I'm getting other than Calvin Ridley this week, if Julio Jones isn't playing, because, you know, Hayden Hurst only got 8 yards last week and Russell Gage got 16 yards. You would have thought that they would have gotten more play, but they just didn't. On the Minnesota side, I've got a couple of the week guys. Kirk Cousins, he's my streamer of the week because the Atlanta Falcons are the worst defense, the worst pass defense. They're even worse than they've given up the most fantasy points per game to the quarterback in the wide receiver position. So that's why I fired up Kirk Cousins for, and I think I'm calling that he's going to have his first 300 yard game. And Alexander Mattison, I put in our waiver wire column that he should be the number one priority if he's available in your league. A lot of people listened and took, you picked them during their draft and kind of held on to him. Our Primo Jose obviously was listening because he has Dalvin Cook, but he also had Alexander Mattison. So,
there you go, handcuff.
Yeah, so he's got himself a little handcuff. He got 112 yards rushing last week. And then I think Adam Thielen and Justin Jefferson are going to have big weeks this week. I mean, Thielen got two touchdowns last week. Jefferson looked kind of mortal, but I think part of it's the rain and part of it was just they were throwing it to Thielen a lot. But it's I think this game definitely has shootout potential. Both secondaries are not very good, but yeah, I think it becomes a shootout if Julio Jones is playing. So vamos a ver.
What's the impact of the head coach being fired? How does this usually play out whenever you have a team like the game after the coach is gone?
Because they're going to go back to what they know, and that's just going to be throw the ball a lot. So it'll be a fun game to watch. Really, it's just all going to be based on his cook in or out, but it'll be a fun game to watch. It should be a lot of offense.
Right.
And if we take
both of these teams have lost a lot more games than they deserve to.
Yeah. And if we look at the example of the Houston Texans, you know, they came out with a great attack last week, and Watson had over 350 yards. So, you know, maybe Mateo Yellow does that this week. Who knows? Quién sabe? Quién sabe? Ricky, take us to New England.
All right. Well, this game is going to be boring in the sense that I don't see much action.
Yay!
Who do you want to see in this? I'm just going to name some names and then how I feel about them, okay? Drew Lock, practicing in full. Who cares? He's not going to play. Right? Do you guys think he's going to play? Or
I think he'll play. I don't know how well he's going to play.
Exactly. So it's like he's not going to be viable because he also has, probably no Melvin Gordon. If he does... I still don't even know what to think about that. So Philip Lindsay, fire up, right?
So, I think so.
But he's also just coming back. So then you have Jerry Jeudy, garbage. He caught a TD versus the Jets, but that's the best wide receiver. Tim Patrick came out of nowhere, 6 for 7, 113 yards and a touchdown. Once again, I'd hate to say this, versus the Jets, because we should just erase all stats that are against the Jets.
Asterisk.
That's like,
a free. It doesn't count.
It's like grading on a curve.
Yeah, I'm looking. I'm going to see who they play championship week, because I think that's going to be the goal.
Right.
And then Noah Fant, he's coming back from an injury too. It's like coming back from injury or had a great game against the Jets. You don't want to hear any of that. So then you go to New England. Who's going to run for them? Damian Harris had over 100 yards or had 100 yards last week. You still have Sony Michel on the IR. James White did what James White does. He catches balls and that's it. So, and I feel like this team every week, it's a different running back. Burkhead did great 1 week. Michel did great 1 week. Harris does great this week. And if Cam Newton's back, I don't know if they're going to rely on the running game. So Cam can kind of get back in the swing. They're get back into the swing of things. But I mean, it's going to be an ugly game. It's like as soon as New England's ahead, they're probably just going to run it a lot. And they're probably going to get ahead quick because I don't see Denver being able to score the ball much. New England was able to hold one of the highest scoring teams in the league this year to 11 points, the Miami Dolphins. So and they're able to hold off the Pat Mahomes and the Chiefs. So I don't know. I don't know if you guys are expecting much action, but I don't see the Broncos doing anything this game.
No, I think this is going to be Damian Harris for the Patriots. Maybe Cam Newton gets out and runs
a little bit. Like with the way they are with their running game, I just don't see Damian Harris
Oh, he's not going to dominate. I think he'll get. I think he'll get some. I could see him repeating what he did in the Kansas City game, 17, getting 100 yards rushing. But I could also see him not scoring any touchdowns, and maybe Cam Newton running in, you know, one or two scores. I mean, this is. I don't even know if we'll get a team scoring 20 points in this game. Maybe New England gets 21, but it'll be like a 21-7 game. It's going to be. I think you're right. It's going to be ugly. New England's still got a good defense. And yeah, I don't know. I know, Julian Edelman, he was a top 10 receiver last year. He's wide receiver 41 this year. And that was with having one of that big game against Seattle.
Yeah. As like one game he did well. And all the people who drafted him high were all like, oh, that's why I did it. But it's like, no. Yeah, come back down to earth.
No mas.
Who said that? Was that the.
No, Mas was the boxer.
Yeah. Roberto Duran.
Roberto Duran, yeah. Sugar Ray Leonard.
Yep, right? Manos de Piedra, 1980. That was a great fight. That was a great fight. Hector, take us to the other barn burner in New Jersey.
Well, this is like I don't know how, well, barn burner, I kind of in the negative way, I guess.
Well, how's it in a negative way if you're betting the over?
Who bet the? It wasn't me. That wasn't my pick. That was
Nico. Nico took the over.
Yeah, okay. I mean, I see two players in this game that are fantasy worthy. On the Washington side, Terry McLaurin, he's going to be. If there's any fantasy points scored on Washington side, I think he's the guy. I think he will. I think he'll have a great game. Both of these defenses aren't much of anything. so they're I mean, Washington should have been good. They started off hot and it is kind of false. They've been dealing with some injuries on the defensive side. So, you know, look for even still, I still don't think the Giants will do anything. They went Daniel Jones, Danny Dimes. I don't know, man. There's like some counterfeiting going on over there because against a bad Dallas defense, he threw out a clunker, 222 yards passing, no touchdowns. Devontae
hasn't had a touchdown since week one, and we're in week six. Yeah.
I'd say he gets one this game.
I think he will.
Yeah, if there was ever a game for him to get one, it would be this game. But on the like I said, Washington side, fire up Terry McLaurin. Giants side, fire up Darius Slayton. These guys are like bulletproof. They're gonna score your points. They're gonna even though McLaurin. And you can talk about this, Rick, after I mentioned that, you know, generally he's putting up some good numbers. Last week, though, he threw up a dud with three catches for 26 yards. But generally he's doing pretty good, right? And against the Giants defense, he should go off, right?
He should. But then again, we don't know how he's going to vibe with Kyle Allen.
Yeah.
So I think that's really going to be the thing. Is Kyle Allen going to be fully healthy? Because last week they didn't really play him. Mm-hmm. We got to see the emergence of – what's his name? Alex Smith.
Alex Smith. That's right.
Yeah.
So we'll see what really happens this week. This will be a great game for both offenses to kind of be like, all right, like in a picture perfect world, when we play against a crappy defense, how do we want to look? Here's both of their times to shine.
Exactly.
Except for the Giants running game. They're done. So,
Devontae Freeman. Yeah.
I could still see Daniel Jones throwing the ball a lot, gaining some action. Gain a lot of points. So I feel like it's going to be a fun game to watch, hopefully.
I mean, the one thing I found the note, that Washington is number six, is giving up the sixth most fantasy points per game against the quarterback position. So if Daniel Jones he's home this week, which is a big difference from last week when they had to travel to Dallas.
Yeah, that smells different.
Yeah, it smells different. But if he doesn't go off this week, I think I've lost hope for him for this season.
That's it. His number is like Danny Nichols or Pennies or something. Dimes.
Danny Pennies.
He's not throwing dimes anymore. Danny Pessels. He's asking for change.
What was that? The Volado or something like that? The game where you're pitching pennies, you know, for
whoever gets closest to the wall.
Oh, yeah. Oh, he was talking about. I remember my dad used to, when we would wait for my mom when she was like in the dressing room at a mall, we would play that.
Yep.
That's it.
Right there against the wall. Just throw it against the wall.
Whoever gets closer, man. That's it.
I will say Darius Slayton had himself a big game last week for 129 yards. So he could be a nice target for this week for DFS. So we're going to see on that one.
Yep.
All right. I'm going to take us down to Baltimore at Philadelphia. Baltimore is a 7-point favorite at a 47.5 point over under. Philly just, you know, just I'm running out of what to say about Philly. They're allowing the most, fifth most fantasy points per game to the tight end position. So Mark Andrews, fire him up.
Yes, I will.
Look at him in DFS. But I still don't like their backfield. I mean, J.K. Dobbins, you know, rips off a 34-yard run and then doesn't touch the ball again out of the backfield again. He ended up with three receptions. So I'm like, at some point, it reminds me a little bit of 2 years ago when Nick Chubb was a rookie. And then he had one game where he had like an 80-yard run, and then he had like another 25-yard run. So he had like two rushes for like 100 yards. And then they traded the starter in front of him. I forget. Was it Gore?
Carlos Hyde.
Oh, it was Carlos Hyde.
Carlos Hyde, or that's right. Johnson too.
Yeah, so it was Carlos Hyde, that's right. They traded him and made Nick Chubb the starter, and then I'm wondering if at some point they just decide, okay, Dobbins is the best guy. Who knows? Quién sabe. I mean, they just keep divvying it up. Marquise Brown, you know, he still keeps getting past defenders. Jackson is finding him a lot more. Got him for a touchdown last year. Lamar Jackson, I think.
Last year.
You know, he only got 3 yards rushing last week. I think he gets back on the rushing game this week. He's going to, he had a 50-yard run a couple weeks ago. I wouldn't be surprised I'm getting a nice long run this week against that banged up Philly defense. Carson Wentz, on the Philly side, I just don't like what I'm seeing out of him.
Even after all the yards they got last week.
Yeah, but, you know, he's still throwing interceptions, and he just doesn't look right. I think he's trying to do too much because of the fact that
he's going
to
get sacked a lot.
He's going
to
get hit
last week. Seven was a lot. Carson Wentz is used to getting sacked, so expect the Baltimore defense to get a buco amount of points for his second week in a row.
Yeah, he holds the ball a lot. I mean, Miles Sanders had himself a great game. Ricky, we talked about Travis Fulgham. We were like, Gin? But, you know, I think he's a guy that a lot of people are I'm going to be very curious what his own percentages goes up to, because, you know, he was largely ignored. I think he was only owned in like 3% of leagues going into last week. And I think his number is going to jump back up. The one guy that is very curious to me is Zach Ertz. This is like the second or third week in a row that he has just not shown up.
Something's going on there.
That's all they got to guard. Like, they guard him.
Maybe that's what
they
it
force
is.
You to go to your invincible guy, Travis Fulgham.
Oh, that's
your Marky right. Mark.
Invincible. Oh, but that's the thing. It's like, and the thing with Zach Ertz, you've got to play him. Because of where you drafted him, you're not going to pick up somebody else. And Baltimore's got a great defense. So, you know, I mean,
it's hard to not start him if you drafted him.
Against Baltimore's defense, I would not start Zach Ertz.
You can't say that he's a top five tight end.
But you
probably don't have a good second option if you had him.
Yeah, maybe.
I wouldn't start him in daily for sure.
No, yeah. Definitely.
No, don't start anybody in daily against the Baltimore defense. There's no way.
No. I mean, yeah, I don't know who you start against Baltimore's defense. You just say no.
Just say no.
Oh, man. Well, bueno, everybody. Eso es todo for our show.
For our show.
Thanks again to Anchor for being our hosting network and making sure our independent podcast gets out in the Familia community. Please subscribe. And, you know, on Apple, you can leave us a review. We'd really appreciate that. Or find us on Spotify and Google or wherever you get your podcast platforms. Remember, follow us on Twitter at FamiliaFFB, as well as our FamiliaFFB Facebook page. And don't forget, FamiliaFFB.com. We're going to have adentro y afuera, who to start, who to sit this week.
There you go.
So, gracias. And remember, get out and vote. Vote.
Go vote.
Yeah. And todos somos familia.
Adios, amigos.
Salud.